Colonel Burke, Reel 2.
What was the attitude of people who were involved in coaling to it? Did they regard it as a horror they had to put up with, or were there some aspects of it which were part of the style of the Navy?
Well, no, they had to put up with it. I mean, I don't think any of them liked it. But they realised when they left, they'd see our own stevedore's coaling ship in the same manner. Any ship they went on, you see. I mean, you coal a ship at Alexandra and Cairo, and you saw all these jippers running up and down with small baskets and tipping it in. Nobody liked it, and these fellows, I suppose, hated it more than anything. But it was a job they had to do, because sooner or later they would be asking others to do it or ordering others to do it. And therefore, I suppose, in the same way in the army, they make you scrub floors and clean fire grates so that you can tell the soldier exactly how you want it done. Mm.
Talking a bit more about Conway as a ship, what about the parts of the ship that were the reserved areas for the permanent crew of the Conway? Where were they? We've talked mostly about the cadets' quarters,
yes,
so far.
Well, you see, bar the captain, who had his own quarters at the back, and I suppose he had sitting room and that sort of thing, and bedroom and that. In fact, I know he did, because later on we were asked on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon to tea about four cadets at a time. Mm-hmm. You could see it. And the chief officer, he slept on the lower deck on the port side adjacent to the gangway. And the second officer slept on the starboard side. He had a little cabin, which was, of course, nobody went in. There were a lot of, I suppose there were about 10 or 11 able seamen and master-at-arms and that sort of thing. And they used to teach us all the knots, the reef knots in the Berlin. And
were the quarters of these people regarded as out of bounds to the cadets?
Oh, yes. In fact, I never saw them. I never went to them. Mm.
About the way the course was organised on Conway, you've explained that it was split between the RN cadets and the merchant cadets. Concentrating first on the RN cadets, how many of them were there?
About 20. There might be 18 in one class, in the next term there'd be 20, but
so
not more.
20 in a class, and how many classes?
Six.
I see. And
because you stayed there 2 years, and there were 3 terms, you see. So your first term was 3 months, and then your second term. And your third term was the end of a year.
Mm, I see. And the merchant cadets, were there about the same number?
No, I think they were bigger classes, a bit bigger. They always seemed to be. But you didn't see a lot of them, you see, really.
Were their classes organised in much the same way?
Oh, yes. All the masters, every one of them, came aboard every day. They were fetched by the cutter or the steam pinnace at Rock Ferry landing stage, you see, and they'd come aboard. And they'd be aboard all day.
When I said their classes, I meant, were there also 20 to a class and six class? No, there'd be more than
well,
six.
I don't know how many classes there were with them. I couldn't say. Mm. But they did a 2 years period. And then they became an apprentice to a line like the Cunard or the Anchor Line or the Elder Dempster or whatever line they were. Mm. There were apprentices there. And then from there on, every year, I don't know, they got their third mates, second mates, first mates, and possibly at last the captain of a ship.
Mm-hmm. What were relations like between the Royal Naval cadets and the merchant cadets?
No different, really. Not a lot of difference. Sometimes some of them asked why you thought you wanted to go in the Navy and not the Merchant Navy, and of course there was always that rivalry among them anyhow, because their fathers had probably been in the Merchant Navy and they knew a lot more about it than I ever did, you see, or any of the Osmond class did, because possibly a lot of us didn't come from C stock at all.
Whose status was generally regarded as being the higher, the naval or the merchant cadets?
I don't know. I should think they would, because they had many more. You see, they had about 250 or more to our... about 120, 130.
Yes, but whether they were fewer than you or greater in number than you, the question of social status doesn't sort of depend on numbers, does it?
No, but it's the same as in a public school. There's the first, second, third, fourth, removed, fifth, sixth, and so on. Well, the fourth, fifth, and sixth boys had very little to do with the juniors, except kick them out of the way if they were in their way. You see, very little to do. But we had on board in each division, or like the port forecastle, two boys, like in a school they'd be called prefects, but they were senior petty officer and junior petty officer, and they wore stripes to show it. And you had to obey them. They marched you to divisions, which was up on the upper deck, or prayers before we started, that sort of thing. But well, otherwise you never saw them.
Yes, I see. So you as naval cadets didn't feel rather superior to the merchant cadets?
Oh, no,
or the other way around?
No.
Was there any competition between the naval and the merchant?
No, any competition we had was between the Worcester and ourselves.
I see.
Which was an annual rowing event.
Can you remember your treatment on Conway on the day you arrived? Were there any things to mark out the start?
Oh, yes. Because it was very strange. I suppose, I think I must have cried, I don't know, I was very homesick. And I hadn't been on the ship long wandering around when I ran into a lot of... I was looking actually at some cutlasses, the old cutlasses, which were in a case. And about three or four of these big boys came up to me and said, ask me name, and I tell them. And they said, well, there it is. And they had it on the list. Well, I discovered after they got that from the notice board for the new boys joining. And they asked me if I'd been to see the captain to have my waist measured for a belt. So I said no, and they told me where to go, and I did. I knocked on the door, and a very gruff voice asked me to come in. And then he said, what do you want? Well, I started to say I'd come to have my waist measured, and that's all I got. I never heard such language in my life. I was terrified. He told me to get out. I couldn't move. I didn't. When I got out of that cabin, I tried to make my way down to my chest, because there you were supposed to be, you know, like rounders and these things, games. If you got on your chest, you were home. Nobody would touch you. But unfortunately, I ran into another lot of chaps. And they asked me the same question, what my name was, how long I'd been on the ship. I told them. They said, had I been to the sick bay to have my mouth measured for a spoon? I said, no. Well, I thought after they told me to go and they showed me where it was, but I didn't go, because I wasn't going to be had a second time. But I was, as you'll see, for the following morning, we have what is now after breakfast, we have what is known as divisions. These petty officers march you up to... the main deck, and you have the forecastleman, mizzen, foretop and main topman of both watches, port and starboard, and then they have prayers. And after prayers, the captain asks if there's any defaulters or whatever it is, and my name was called forth. Well, I heard it, but I wondered what I should do. An able seaman pushed me forward. He said, go up and stand in front of the captain. So I went up and stood in front of the captain, and he said, when did you join the ship? I said, yesterday, sir. He said, you were told to go to the sick bay to be examined, which you know you must do, to see if you carry any infection diseases. And I said, I wasn't. He said, what? I thought you said you were to. I said, no, not to do that. I was told to go and have my mat. And then I shut up. And for that, I had to walk the quarterdeck. The punishment was to walk the quarterdeck for, I think, 3 days. After breakfast, too, we started lessons. After lessons in the morning, till we had our midday meal. After midday meal, too, we went back to lessons in the afternoon. And after lessons, too, we had our tea.
Walking the quarterdeck sounds rather an agreeable activity. Why was it how was it a punishment?
Because you had to walk from the port side to the starboard side.
Mm-hmm.
And ordinary, any time you walk on the quarterdeck, you have to salute it. You see, when people, you see an army officer or a naval captain or a naval officer of any description boarding a ship, the first thing he does when he lands on the deck is salute. And the quarterdeck was that, and that was the only reason you ever walked on it. And of course, you were in full view of anybody on the lower deck. Any visitors that came aboard, there was this poor little boy walking from left to right, aimlessly.
So the nature of the punishment sounds as if it was to rather humiliate you.
Well, there you were. You were in front of everybody, I suppose. It was something like the stocks were in older days.
Yes.
Before that.
Yes. Were there any other pranks played on you by the senior boys when you first joined?
Yes. Not so much pranks as going up the rigging. The last three boys in the morning who stowed their hammocks had to go up over one side and down the other. Well, when you're going up over the rigging, there's what is called as Lubber's Hole, or you go up over the futtocks. And I went through Lubber's Hole because it seemed the easiest. The other looked perilous to me. And having gone up the port side and down the starboard, then the last one of those three got three cuts with a bit of spun yarn. Well, that was a rope about 12 inches long, half an inch round. And so it had been sort of tarred, so it was known as spun yarn. And that drew blood every time you had that.
Who administered it?
What? Your petty officer of your division. Well, then in the afternoon, when Wednesday afternoon, if I didn't go ashore, or you'd wander around the upper deck, and I wandered up the rigging one day and went to go through Lubber's Hole. There were two or three boys on the foretop, which is a big platform, and they made me go up these futtocks. And then there were the halyards or ropes going down to the deck, which you hoisted the sails and were attached to the yardarms. They told me to grasp a rope, which I did. They knocked down the safety guard and gave me a push. Well, this was 60 feet up, I suppose. And I hadn't time to get my hands round. I came down absolutely lacerated. I had to go to the sick bay for 4 months, three weeks. All, you know, the skin gone with every joint. So when I was better, the captain asked me who did it. I said, I didn't know. Well, he said, you must have seen them. I said, yes, I did. But I wouldn't recognize them again. And anyhow, some other boy who I suppose felt sorry for me or something, he reported them. And to my horror, about a week later, there was this terrible public caning by the master at arms, who had a long cane about 4 foot long. And down in the hold, as I said, there were the carpenter shops. You were tied to a carpenter's bench. They only had their trousers on, and they got whatever the captain ordered, 3, 6, 9.
Was this a public punishment?
Yes, every boy had to watch. I thought my life would be over by then, but they realised I hadn't sneaked on them, so I got away with it. Mm. But anyhow, I mean, they could have done what they liked to me. I couldn't defend myself even.
Whilst we're on the subject of offences and punishments, can you remember any other major or minor offences and what the punishments for them were? You mentioned rather briefly about the punishment for not stowing your hammock properly. Could you describe that in a bit more
detail? Oh, yes. Well, again, you see, everything had to be done efficiently and smartly, because time was the main object. There was a very tight schedule from being told by the master at arms in the morning. He used to come around yelling, get up, lash up and stow hammocks. And then the petty officers took over, you see. He went from deck to deck doing this. And you had to stow your hammocks in a proper way, in your proper allotted position in the hold. And, of course, you knew your hammock by a number outside. But the last three up, then the petty officer said you hadn't been smart enough. Well, you may have been blocked by all the other ship's company trying to get down. That didn't make any difference to him. He simply bent over and he gave you three or four of what he thought cuts across the backside. It's just as well they went, and it's much places to sit down, because half the time you couldn't.
And the cuts across the backside, they'd be with what?
With this short bit of spun yarn, as they called it, rope.
Yes.
Like tarred rope, you know. Mm. Yeah.